Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
If you have your Bibles, just go with me to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. And Paul is writing to the believers, and he says, For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, and I'm so grateful that Paul included the prayers that he prays for the believers, because he could just say, I'm praying for you, and we'd have no idea what he's saying. The fact that it's included gives us a little bit of insight of how the kingdom works and how the Holy Spirit works. And he's saying, the fact that I hear that you have faith in the Lord and that you have love towards all the saints, he's talking about basic Christianity. He's just saying, this: you guys have the basics. If you didn't have this, I'd have to pray about you having faith in Jesus and loving other people. But because I know that's happening, there's a reputation of this happening, I can go on and pray. I don't cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. And then he goes into that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. He's praying here. This is what he's saying. He's like, I want you guys to experience the realities that are found in Jesus Christ and to know that the kingdom of God is not something that happens when I pass away. It starts now. Eternal life starts now when I receive Jesus Christ. The riches of the kingdom start at this moment. Sometimes we have this thinking of like, well, someday I'll when I go to heaven, I'll be able to have access to all these things. And it's a now thing. The kingdom of God is a now thing. Jesus is a now thing. And so he's wanting to believers to not just simply know about Jesus. He wants them to really experience the Lord Jesus Christ. And in order for that to happen, it takes more than just simply reading a book. And that could be a good place to start, but it requires an encounter with him. And so what he's praying is he's saying, I want the spirit of wisdom. It's wisdom to be able to administrate your experiences in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's wisdom because it talks about the highest priority is it being able to know Jesus. And he goes, and spirit of wisdom and of revelation. And that word there is apocalypse. And most of the time when we speak of apocalypse, we think of like the end of the world and we think of bombs going off. But the word means really revelation. It means an unveiling. It means just, I couldn't see something before, but now I can see it. Literally is as if somebody were walking around with a cloth over their head and they think they can see. They think they have the full picture. I don't know how to do this, but I can kind of see through here. I can kind of see a little bit and make out where the people are at. I won't try to walk down the stairs, but I can see that the stairs are there. I can kind of make out kind of where how this room is, but I can't quite see clearly. There's details that are missing from me simply because I have something that is covering my face, covering my eyes. And what the spirit of revelation is, Paul saying, is that I want the Holy Spirit to come, because when you talk about the Spirit as related to the Father, you're talking about the Holy Spirit. And so he's saying, I want the Holy Spirit to come, and he's gonna remove whatever prevents me from being able to see Jesus. And just kind of, now I can see him. Before, I thought I could see him. I could kind of maybe make an outline of him. I could hear his voice, but it was a bit muffled. Have you ever had that experience of even with the Lord where you can kind of sense things even by faith that are happening, but you can't quite really see it yet? You can't quite perceive it. And what he's saying is that I want you to have this spirit of wisdom and revelation. You already have the basics. You have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You love other people. That's great. You're walking with Jesus. That's just the basics, kindergarten of Christianity. But now what I really need for you as a believer is I need you to really begin to experience who Jesus is. And it occurs to me that there's a lot of people in the church that have no clue who Jesus is. They have an idea of who he is. And even when you talk about even the experience that they have, even with him, it's hollow. It's shallow. It's maybe an experience that they had at some point in the past, but even as something that is fresh today, they don't have. So he goes on. Who was it? It was Gottman, who's a psychologist, that marriage counselor, and he's cited in almost every psychological book, especially that has to do with marriage or relationships. And he studied all these couples and put them in kind of settings and put all these things on them to be able to measure their stress level and everything like that, and just kind of finding out what is able to keep a marriage together and predict what marriages may at some point divorce or separate. And one of the things that he says that's so important to have is to have your love maps up to date. It's kind of like trying to use Waze, maybe some kind of MapQuest. Anybody remember those things that you had to print from the printer? Because and then you're kind of driving with this, and you're trying to trying to navigate using a map that is obsolete, and it might know where the north, south, east, and west is. It might get you into the general direction, but it doesn't have the specifics. And he says that a lot of times in relationships, we kind of continue on throughout the years as though we were boyfriend, girlfriend, but we've changed over the course of time. And I haven't brought my love map up to date. And so I'm trying to operate in my relationship with my wife with something that's outdated, that's obsolete. I have a general idea, you know, because I know her, but I don't have it really up to date. And he says that important thing is to keep your love map up to date, meaning that you ask questions. You put your cell phone down and you look at one another in the eyes and you act like you're interested in that person that you've married, and that you just ask, you're just curious about the person and you want to learn about the person, and you find that maybe there's things that they like now that they didn't like before, and vice versa. And it's the same thing even when it comes to our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, that there's things that we can know in general. And what Paul is wanting to do is he's wanting them to know, like, hey, I really want you to keep your love map up to date when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to really know him. Pastor Shannon was sharing about the prayer that Moses said that, you know, show me your glory. I believe that what happened even at that time is that he had a revelation of Jesus. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, it talks about Jesus being the radiance of the glory of God, the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. Not the power of his word, it's the word of his power. When Moses is saying this, and if you think about it, there's a moment where God puts him in the cleft of the rock and he's like, I'm going to put my hand over you so you don't see me. Well, God's a spirit. By that definition, it's invisible. I believe that it's Jesus himself that is coming and covering. There's a physicality that's happening that is covering Moses for a moment as his glory goes over, and that glory has to do even with Jesus himself. He looked at it, he said, you can see my back. What is he seeing? I believe he's seeing Jesus. Have you ever wondered how in Hebrews chapter 11, you find that Moses is willing to give up the riches of Egypt? He's willing to take on the reproach of Christ. He finds it of greater value to do that than anything that Egypt had to offer, any of the fleeting pleasure of sin. And you think, like, where is he finding, where's Christ in all this? Where does he have this thing of Jesus? I believe that it's at this very moment that when he says, show me your glory, God shows him, all my goodness will pass before you. And he's talking about even Jesus himself. In fact, God speaks, it says in Hebrews when he first starts out, in many ways he spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but in the last days he's spoken to us by his son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created everything, or created the ages. In other words, that every prophetic word that you receive, it'd be a good idea to kind of bring it back to Jesus. Bring it back in relationship with him. Sometimes we come to him and it's like this fortune cookie. What am I going to get this time? And what did you get? Ooh, look what I got. And we compare it maybe to what we had before or the last year. It's meant to bring us to know him, and that prophetic word is meant to bring us into his very presence. It's meant for us to experience him in a greater way. It's something that he wants to reveal to you that you need at this moment, and it's found in him. And at times we want what God can do for us without having the work of a relationship with him. Give me the benefits of just knowing you, Lord, but I don't want to do the work to kind of know you. It's like somebody that rather sleep around than have to actually and have one-night stands with others, because I don't want to have to go through the work that it takes to build a relationship with another person and be transformed even in the process. I don't want to have to change. So we come to Jesus and we come to the Father and like, do something for me, entertain me. What do you have for me? But I don't want to take the work to really build it. I mean, it's interesting. It just captivates my attention, and where there's moments even where we've done prophetic conferences, and I'm not criticizing anything or anybody, nobody's coming up to mind, but there's moments where people will not be at any of the events of the prophetic conference, but they'll come when it's their word, because I just want to know, what is it? What's the fortune cookie? I've seen people that are living in sin, and they want to come, and I'm grateful that they're there. I'm grateful that they have an opportunity. I'm grateful that they're at least coming to church, and they're coming to a moment, and they're seeking that, but they're not willing to do the work to invest in the relationship with him. This Holy Spirit is the spirit of apocalypse. And he says, having the eyes of your heart enlightened. He goes, I just want you to be able to see. And the eyes of your heart, some people believe it has to do even with imagination or the capacity to be able to understand who Jesus is. And even like Moses, he sustained himself as though seeing the invisible, him who is invisible. He didn't fear the king. He didn't fear the fact that the army was coming after the most powerful army at that moment. And the way that he was able to endure that moment is that he sustained himself as though seeing him who is invisible. He had the capacity to engage with the Father, the capacity to engage in a supernatural way. And then he says, so that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you and what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. And we don't have time to go to everything, but I'm just going to finish reading this. And all these things, when he says no, it's more than just simply knowing something as a piece of information in my brain. It's actually experiencing these very things so that when you speak about it, you actually know what you're talking about. And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe according to the working of his great might, that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one that is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him his head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Can I just say that the greatest need of the church today is a fresh revelation of Jesus? It's interesting to me that the book of Revelation is written to a church when it's getting ready to be persecuted, and you will not find any language in the New Testament that is something going like, man, I feel really bad about the fact that you're going through this right now. You know, instead it's called to persevere, to endure, to be faithful, even unto death if it's necessary, because it's worth it. Because what's on the other side is worth it. Because it's what's really real. Because Jesus is worth it. It's almost saying like, why would I say that, not do that? But blessed are those who are persecuted. There's a blessing that's in that. And so he's saying the greatest need, and this is what the Holy Spirit does through John. And so how do you prepare a church to be persecuted? In its worst moment at that moment in history, of course, today, the church is being persecuted more than all of history put together. At this moment, it doesn't come out in the news because it's not convenient for them to do it. But at this moment, there are people that even to say that I love Jesus or give their life to Jesus or be baptized means that they're going to be cut off from their family. They're going to lose all their security, finances that they have, and they might even lose their own life at this very moment. And so how do you prepare somebody to actually be willing to do that? I mean, sometimes we have a hard time just coming to church because I don't know if I'm going to find a parking spot, or because of how uncomfortable it is, or I have to get up early to be able to do this. And we lose sight of the value of who Jesus is. We've become blind and complacent. And so he calls the church, and the way he does it is a revelation of Jesus. And so you have this pattern in the book of Revelation where he goes, hey, this is what's happening in the throne room, and that is what's really real. Yeah, it's true. Rome is after you. It's true. They could put you in jail. It's true. You could be put to the sword. But let me tell you what's really real, what's really eternal. Is this what is happening in the throne room? Let me tell you about a king that will never be dethroned. And he begins to talk about this Jesus, because what the church needed to be able to endure was a revelation of Jesus. Because seeing him as he really is, to see him on his throne, to see all the stuff that is happening is what would give me the strength to persevere. It gives me joy in the midst of trials. It releases power. It releases faith. Let me tell you, faith has to do with your perspective and what you put your eyes on. In the Old Testament, we find this moment where the prophet is surrounded by his enemies and his assistant walks out and he goes, oh no, what are we going to do? And the prophet comes out and he's not worried. And he's like, oh, okay, Lord, here, open his eyes, Lord. Let him see how things really are. Because we have an enemy that tries to present truth, quote unquote, or reality according to their own definitions. And so the moment the servant opens his eyes or gets his eyes open and he's able to see that more are those that are with him than those against, then all of a sudden he's like, oh, okay, we're going to be okay. So you look at the prophet and you go, what a great man of faith. Well, it's because he saw reality as it really was. It would have been weird if the prophet was worried in light of the truth of what was happening of his situation. Let me tell you that what you're going through right now, maybe you're not seeing it the way as it truly is from heaven. When you begin to see it from in light of Jesus Christ, you begin to have a reality of what it is, and you become to realize, hey, wait a minute. More are those that are with me than those who are against me. Why am I going to fear? Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Why am I going to be afraid? And what we find that the Holy Spirit is doing in a consistent way is trying to pull blinders off our eyes so that we can see Jesus in a fresh way. That brings worship, that brings adoration, that brings perseverance, that brings truth, that brings holiness. I mean, if you really saw him as he really was or as he is, I mean, obedience would not even be an issue. Do you realize that in heaven, there will be no need for disciplines? I'm not going to be hanging out there with Pastor Daniel having a coffee, an espresso, and then kind of go like, as if there were time, but let's pretend. I'm just kind of looking. I'm like, oh, man, it's my time to be before the Lamb that's on the throne. Okay, I better go do my, you know, put in my time. There'll be no need for discipline because I'll actually see him as he really is. And in fact, one of the motivations that Jesus gives for prayer in the book of Luke chapter 18 in the parable of prayer is that if we saw the Father as he really is, prayer would naturally flow. And it would naturally be in perseverance. And we find this concept that Paul is saying here, and even this prayer is something that he actually experienced. And it's interesting because you can actually trace this in the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 9, it's Ananias that is called, and you know, Jesus or Paul has this encounter with Jesus and he's blinded. And I want you to just see the contrast on this. The man that has the equivalent of what, 2 or 3 doctorates, PhDs in theology. The guy's an absolute genius, has an incredible zeal for God, is actually blind. He thinks he sees, but he doesn't. And God brings him to a point where he realizes this. This man that is respected and feared now has to be taken by the hand because he can't see. And God calls this guy called Ananias, and you never hear of him again. He's not a prophet. He's not a leader. We don't even know. It's just a guy in church. And he just simply calls him to go pray for him. And as he does, listen, he goes, brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road by which you came has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. You will find in the New Testament that the Holy Spirit is associated with sight, with revelation. Immediately something like scales fell up from his eyes and he regained his sight. And then he rose and was baptized. He got saved, and taking food, he was strengthened. It's the Holy Spirit that enables us to see. Later on in Acts chapter 22, he expounds on this experience that he had with God. It says, the God of our fathers appointed you to know his will. I want you to say this even over you, that the Father has appointed you, Kings Alaska, and those that are watching online. I think we have some people from Chile. Buenas noches. Or one of the S. I think it's morning there. To know his will, to see the righteous one. Notice that. You've been called to know the will of God. You've been called to see the righteous one. To hear a voice from his mouth. You've been called to this. For you will be a witness for him to everyone of what you have seen and what you have heard. When we talk about being a witness, we're talking about something that somebody has experienced. Like, I was walking one time in Chile downtown. This guy was driving erratically, lost control of the car. It flipped over, slid on the hood, hit a parked car all in front of me. Didn't have a cell phone. This is some time ago. That's when they had payphones. Went to a payphone, called the police, said, "This is what happened. I'm at this street." And stayed around to be able to give my testimony, my report, because I actually saw it. I was there when it happened. Now, I'm sure there's a lot of other accidents in Santiago that day, but I wasn't there for them. I was there for that one. And I could speak to what I saw. I could speak to what I heard, because I was actually paying attention. And I could share that then with the police, and they could do the report, and they could follow up and do whatever. That's what we're called to do as a witness. It's more than just witnessing and giving the four spiritual laws, which is fine. You can give like little, you know, you can give pamphlets. Again, totally fine. Nothing against that. But what we're actually called to do is speak about things that we've actually seen, heard, experienced, that we have actually something to give to other people. Because we're called to be a witness, and that means then that there has to be something that's up to date in my walk, in my relationship with Him, so that I can actually give something to somebody else, and I can talk about it even in the midst of the most difficult situation and have a peace that surpasses understanding, and I can say, "I don't get it, but I'm experiencing it. You know what? This is about Jesus. Let me talk to you about what I know, what I've experienced, what I've seen, what I've heard." That's what we're called, and that's Paul's calling that he receives even here. I want to say that this is your calling, Kings Alaska, to know God's will, to see the righteous one, to hear a voice that comes directly from His mouth, to really just know Him, to be close enough to even hear Him. It's interesting, in the book of Jeremiah, you find a lot of prophets that are prophesying. And it becomes somewhat of an echo chamber. And there's times where I feel like I could close my eyes and sense and hear this echo of a prophet trying to outdo another prophet. And, oh, yeah, that's a great word. Let me give you a different one. And, oh, you had that revelation. I had even a greater revelation. You went to the third heaven. I went to the sixth heaven. You didn't even know it was there. I had a secret way that God told me. And I go there every day. I go there every day. In fact, I was just there yesterday and I had a coffee with whoever, with Jesus or Moses or whatever. And yeah, and that's my experience. And like, oh, okay. And so this is going on and God is just calling through Jeremiah. He says, but who of them has stood in my counsel? Who of them has stood close enough to me to actually hear what I have to say? Who took the time to actually do that? And the answer to that is apparently not a lot of people. You realize that the prophets of the Old Testament were not very popular. They were hated. They were persecuted because what they said, it was in line with the Father, but saying things that people didn't want to hear. But this is our calling, is to be able to know Him. Can you imagine? I mean, it's just going up and actually meeting the Lord Jesus Christ and then realizing like what little time you actually spent. I wonder if the tears that He dries from our cheek has to do more with things that could have been, but we were blind. In Acts chapter 26, He shares this experience again. He says, "Rise and stand upon your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to appoint you as a servant and a witness to the things in which you have seen me and to those in which I will appear to you," meaning there's going to be future things, "by experience, delivering you from your people and from the Gentiles to whom I am sending you." Notice how He defines His ministry: to open their eyes. Ministry is about helping people see. In fact, you have the God of this age that has blinded the eyes of those that are unbelieving. In fact, the areas that are of unbelief in our own life are blind spots. Because He doesn't want people to see the light of the good news, the gospel in the face of Jesus. Because He knows that if they see Jesus as He really is, who wouldn't want to surrender their life to Him? And so we live in this constant battle. In fact, when we pray for the salvation of souls It's spiritual warfare that we're doing. We're actually coming in and we're doing something that is violent. We're wanting to remove the veil that prevents them from seeing Jesus. We want to remove that which prevents them from being open and receptive to the gospel. And so he defines ministry as to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God. There's only two kingdoms. There's no neutral in the spirit world. That they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. And he says, this is the calling. This is the very thing that you and I are called to. It's a spirit of revelation. It's a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Wisdom, again, because we're called to be administrators of that which God has done for us and what he's given us. Administrators of the grace. In fact, we're going to have a given account of all what we've done with what the Lord has given us. I'm reminded of a story of Bishop Hooks, and he mentioned this publicly, and so I feel free to actually share this. And remember the first time actually hearing this story, and it actually has impacted me all these years. He's talking about how he was going to preach at this one place, and they went and picked him up, put him up into this house, and he went up to the second floor, and he's laying on the bed, and he goes, for some reason, he laid on his back, and he had his arms crossed on his chest. And as he's trying to take a nap before the service at night to sleep, his spirit leaves his body. And he finds himself face to face with Jesus. He didn't move his mouth, but they were communicating, they were speaking, and as this is happening, he's aware of what's happening down on earth. And the Lord speaks to him and gives him some instructions and just shares some things with him. And he doesn't want to come back. I mean, who would? You've seen Jesus. Jesus tells him, no, there's work for you to do. And at that moment, there's somebody that's knocking on the door, and they're, I can't remember what they were calling him, like elder or something like that, but they're calling him a name. And it's, hey, is everything okay in there? And he comes back down into his body, but it's like he comes face down, and his body's face up, and he comes face down into his body. And he opens his eyes, and he can't see anything. And his first thought, now listen, his first thought is, if I'm blind for the rest of my life, it's worth it to have seen Jesus. And then he says something weird happened. It's like his spirit turns within his body, and it's like eyes with eyes, and all the sockets, everything just kind of lines up, and he's able to see, and he goes and he opens the door because they're just knocking. He opens the door, and it's like, what? You know, like you interrupted this. This power of God just surged through that place, and they all just fell out, and he was late as usual to his meeting. They were saying how, while this was happening, that there was just this wind that was just flowing through the house, and they just thought maybe he had a window that was open, and they just didn't know what was going, you know, they didn't know what was, they just wanted to make sure that he was okay. It's worth being blind for the rest of my life to have just seen Jesus. Just for the moment to have seen him. Which brings me to the point, one of the points that I want to give tonight is, it's just hunger. Do you hunger for him? Is this something where your heart aches for the things of God? Or just, it's not like a to-do list. It's not this thing that I have to kind of, okay, I got to do this and got to check it off my list because this is what I got to do. And since I'm a believer, this is what I do. Which is, you know, if that's where you're at, okay, let's just build up from that. But is there something where your heart just simply aches to be with him and in his presence? I feel that there's a lot of the church that finds itself like Laodicea in Revelation 3, 17, 18, and they think, oh, I'm fine. Everything's good. I'm good. I'm real good. I've prospered. I don't need anything. I'm good. I'm good. I've heard every sermon. I've been to every conference. I've read all the books. Got the t-shirt. Oh, I'm good. Yeah, I'm totally good. They don't know that they're wretched, that they're pitiable, that they're poor, that they're blind, that they're naked. They have no idea the real state that they find themselves in. I counsel you. If Jesus gives you counsel on this, probably should pay attention, that he goes, buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may be rich. Well, how do you buy from Jesus? Well, it's in Isaiah also when he has that invitation, those that are hungry, thirsty, come to me, buy milk and wine without price. Well, how do you buy? Well, you got to ask. You got to be willing to ask. And what he's saying is that I'm offering you something that is eternal, that is great value, that is actually treasure. It's gold that has been refined by fire, because I want you to be rich, but I want you to be rich in things that are really worth it, not in monopoly money. White garments so that you may clothe yourself and the shame of your nakedness may not be seen. I want to give this to you. And you just hear this even. Notice Jesus is talking to the church here. This isn't to unbelievers that are lost in sin. He's talking to the church. He's like, you guys think you got it all figured out. You got all your programs and you got all your stuff and you're blind. You're doing stuff that isn't really, it's not eternal. It may look good right now. And how many churches have we seen like that? How many ministries have begun to topple down that at one moment looked like they were prospering and that they had no need of anything and they were actually a resource for other people, but they were actually naked and they didn't even have the intelligence to realize I should be ashamed of where I'm at or the condition of what I find myself in. Oh no, I'm good. These are people that use the measurements of the world to find value in themselves and even to value in what they're doing instead of actually finding the opinion of what the king, it's his church, what he would want and what's important to him in his heart. And he says, the shame of your nakedness may not be seen, and solve so that to anoint your eyes so that you may actually see, because you're so blind you don't even know it. It's just interesting to me that you could be in a state that you don't know that you're blind, but you are. That you think everything's fine, everything's okay, that you can go through the motions. It's such a danger sometimes, even in our relationship with God, when we focus more on the exterior instead of the interior, of appearances, of just the selfie generation of just, hey, look at me here. I'm here at this, you know, here I am worshiping the Lord kind of a thing, and take a selfie and, oh, and everybody has got to have the impression, or people that are impressed with you, instead of really finding your value and your worth in him. There has to be a hunger. It's hunger that's brought you here tonight. It's hunger that's brought you to a conference. It's hunger that brings you that even when it's snowing outside, that you're willing to, of course you're Alaskans, you guys are used to this, and be able to weather the storm and come, because there's something of value, and you find that in him. Be able to see Jesus. To be able to have eyes that are opened, it all starts with just simply desiring as much of everything in the kingdom of God. Those who seek, find. Those who ask, receive. Those who knock, the door is open. I've heard many people say at times, well, I just want everything that God has for me. And that's it. And it sounds very holy, but it really isn't. Because it's those who seek that actually find. It's those who ask that actually receive. You don't ask, you don't receive. And you can say, well, God didn't want me to receive. No, he wants you to receive it. You just didn't want to ask. You didn't want to seek. You didn't want to keep insisting. I mean, this place wouldn't be here if you guys weren't asking and seeking and knocking. He goes, I want your eyes to be healed so that you could actually see. Look, everything changes when you are able to see and understand who he is. And by see, I mean the capacity that we have even with our own spirit, on the, say, even in our projector of our imagination, of just being able to perceive the Lord, to have him always before us, as the psalmist says, I've put the Lord always before me, therefore I will not be moved. It has to do with where you're putting your thoughts, of where you're putting your attention, of just desiring him even in that moment. Which brings me to the second point, is just simply no hurry. I tried to do everything with the same letter like Pastor Shannon does, but I couldn't do it. So, but this is close. It's hunger and then no hurry. So there's another H in there. But They asked Dallas Willard one time what would be the one thing to do if I want to grow spiritually, and he said the following: you must ruthlessly eliminate hurry from your life. There's nothing else. Hurry is the great enemy of spiritual life. It's just to linger in his presence. There's a time with my wife, our relationship was a long distance. When I was in Dallas, I was interning at a church and going to school, university, and she was up in Minnesota, and this is pre-cell phone time. I know that for some of you that may seem like ancient and extremely weird, but so we would write these things that are called letters. It was pieces of paper, and we took a pen, and you'd write, and there's this thing called the post office that you'd mail it with a stamp, and it would go to the address that you had written on that envelope, and I'd write a letter every day to her, and she would write a letter to me every day, and I'd literally lived at a church inside the gym. It was just this closet that they kind of accommodated into a room, and I shared it with another guy and all the different rats that were lived also in that room with us. And there's this, you know, the greatest advancement we had at that moment was a fax machine. Many remember that, and that was just like, how is this working? I don't even know. And some of them saw that as the Antichrist, and you know, it's just look at the technology. Next thing you know, the 666 and the chip in our hand and all that kind of stuff. But once in a while, I could send a fax to her, and somehow I think your dad had and his office had a fax machine, and then she could receive that. And I think I still have some of those saved away. And there were pictures that I had of my wife, and I would hide the picture because I didn't want anybody else to see all this stuff. And I had my place underneath the mattress, and I would take time to just simply look and stare at the picture because I didn't want to forget her. I didn't want time to go by, and then I'm like, I forgot, what were the color of her eyes again? How was her hair again? What was it? And so I would spend time just simply looking at her because I wanted to be able to close my eyes and see her. I wanted to have that imprinted in my brain. I wanted to have it seared in my brain. And when you linger with the Lord, and it's you know, there's different forms of prayer and everything like that, but it's something what you want to do is that you want to have Jesus imprinted in your heart so that when you close your eyes, you see him. It's like, I want to know what you're like. I want to know how you respond to these situations, and I want to know what drove you to do that, and I want to meet with the author. I just want to meet with you, and I just want to know you, and it just takes time. And I know we're so busy that who has time to develop a spiritual life and a spiritual walk? And so we spend all our time doing things that aren't eternal. And we leave off the one thing that is eternal. And I'm not saying that you shirk your responsibilities because you're going to go into the prayer closet and, you know, and that when there's some project at home that you don't do that and, you know, because, well, I got to go fast in prayer or whatever the case may be. But it's in the midst of your day-to-day routine, and each of us find ourselves at different seasons, that you find the time to just simply just keep your mind on him. I mean, didn't you do that when you were dating? Was it so hard? Was it so difficult to do? Like somebody had to twist your arm, like, all right, you know, think about Heather now. And I'm like, oh, gosh, got to think of her again. At times I feel like that's how it is at church, like trying to convince people to pray. Like it's the worst thing in the world. Like Jesus is just this horrible person, and I'm asking you to do this horrible thing of just spending time with Jesus. And it's like, ugh. At times we see it as like the thing that I have to do so that now I can do the thing I really want to do. The whole time we're trying to convince, like, don't you see his beauty? And don't you see his majesty? Don't you see how amazing he is? Don't you see how much he loves you? Don't you see how much he wants to be with you? How he wants to be in you? And that he wants to talk to you, and that if you would just take the time to do that, and he's not on our timetable, and I found that out a lot. That in moments when I'm really stressed out, he doesn't seem to be really stressed out by my stress, and I want him to at times, and
I really want to put some pressure on him to kind of get things moving and cranking and just, come on, let's just get this thing going. He's not moved by any of that at all. And I've learned to kind of learn, okay, it's a different rhythm. And if maybe I'm the one that's stressed out, maybe I'm not seeing it like he's seeing it, right? I mean, Psalms chapter 2, he's like, why do all the nations conspire, right? And they come against my chosen one, my son. And what is God on sitting on the throne? He's like, oh no, what are they going to do? Oh no, I didn't plan on that. Like Gabriel, Archangel Michael, come on, we got to get ready in for action. He laughs and he mocks at their plans. He's not moved by that. He's not impressed by that. He just looks for someone that's willing to partner with him to accomplish his purpose and see the kingdom established here on earth. But it's not just something that we just do for him. It's we do this in connection with him. And the more I see him and the clearer that I see him, the more vision I have and the more I realize what is possible. The more I see him, the more faith I have, the more certainty I have. The more I see him, the more joy I have, the more peace I have in the midst of circumstances. And yeah, there's a lot of stuff that's happening, but man, I can walk like he can walk. You notice that he's never in a hurry. Lazarus is dead. He goes, I already know how the thing's going to end. We don't have to worry about it. I got it. He's never in a hurry. In fact, the only time that you find God running and is somewhat in a hurry is with the prodigal son, when he sees him at a distance and he runs towards him. And he's teaching us to walk at his rhythm because it speaks. It speaks to others. Have you realized too that this idea of witnesses is not only to your neighbor and not only to the state, but it's to principalities and powers? Ephesians 3 talks about this. We don't have time to get into it, but Ephesians 3 talks about this. Principalities and powers have no clue what God is doing. They're not as smart as we think they are. I mean, they're smart and they've got ability, okay? But they're not as smart as we tend to make them out to be. So what they do to see what God is like or what God is doing is that they look at you and me and they look at the church. And they go, oh, this is what God's doing. Okay, now I see what God is doing. They look to the church. They look to you and me to see what God is like. We bear witness to God or of God, not only on a horizontal level, but on a vertical level. Principalities and powers come to see the wisdom of God, that he takes people like you and me, and he makes us object of his praise and his glory. We're jars of clay, but we've got this treasure. You got this power that is immeasurable. The Spirit himself dwells within you and me. And he's like, yeah, but these guys they're just dirt. And they're gonna rain? Like, give me a break. They look to you and me. How you and I respond speaks to how we know the Father, how we reveal him to others. In fact, it's the greatest calling that you and I have, is to be able to represent our Father well in the midst of every trial, in the midst of every difficulty. And it won't happen if we don't see him. You need to have some hunger. It starts with just a desire. And can I just say, sometimes it starts with, Lord, I want to hunger, because maybe you don't want to hunger. And you're like, I just find myself at this place. And the Lord will answer that prayer. He will give you such a hunger for his presence and his Spirit and his word. I tell you, I've seen it time and time again. It's to create moments that are unhurried moments in his presence. The final thing is just simply to be filled again with the Holy Spirit. Over and over again, the Holy Spirit is connected with eyes that are open to be able to see. It's revelation. It's even as you speak in the Spirit, you speak mysteries. Your spirit understands what's going on. Your mind hasn't quite caught up, and so you interpret. He who speaks in another tongue, pray to interpret it. Speaking in tongues with interpretation is prophetic word. It's prophecy. And you speak things, and there's revelation that comes. It's interesting that John G. Lake, who at one moment in a 5-year period of time had over 100,000 verified healings, him and his ministry. And he said that the praying in the Spirit was the making of my ministry. In fact, he would pray in tongues would interpret in a lot of his sermons were what he interpreted. He'd pray in the Spirit and would interpret. A lot of it was even, there's poems, there's even songs that he wrote that come just straight out of the Spirit. Do you realize that that's what the Holy Spirit wants to do with you? You know, Pastor Daniel, one of the things I've seen, you are the kind of man, even when it comes to the things of the Lord, you will stand. And if you're the last man standing, you will, it doesn't matter. If the wind comes at you and it's just directed at you, you're like, I'm going to stand here. And if it's the last thing I do, this is what I'm going to do. And you've been in a season of like almost hitting the current straight on. But the Lord is taking you now to a season where you come in slant. Where it's not going to be this endurance kind of game. You come in different. You come in slant. You come in at a different angle. It's like it being in a current of in the ocean that if you try to swim against, it's going to wear you out, but you got to kind of get out of the current to actually get to where you need to go. And there's been a lot of skirmishes that you found yourself in, and it's just simply been distractions of the enemy that actually wasn't even really the intent of it. It's just simply to wear you out. Have you distracted here, a little thing over here, and then there's this other thing here, and you're like, my goodness, I can't even rest. I can't even relax. I just one thing and just being bombarded, one thing after another. And the Lord's bringing you back to a season where you would just simply lay before the Lord when there was something that was so overwhelming and there was something so out of your power, you couldn't even do it anyways. And you would just spend time, you're like, I just got to worship the Lord because I can't do this. I can't do it. And you would spend hours. I see you being laid out even on your face on the carpet. And you're just weeping and just before the Lord, you lose all sense of time. You get up, you walk out the doors, and things just simply fall into place. Things fall into place. Pastor Brian said, release of the angelic. But I'm messing with your schedule. I'm messing with the timing of things. You've always been quick to respond to my voice, been obedient to drop whatever it is, to follow my voice. I'm messing with it to show you that it's me. And there's going to be more fruitfulness. There's going to be more doors that open. Do not be distracted by the little things because it's just skirmishes. It's just distractions. It's noise. It's just noise. It's like you run to that and then you find there's nothing and you wasted all that energy into it. No more. There's going to be a grace where you're just going to be, in fact, I see you just leaving, going to the throne room. Just kind of being gone. I don't know how else to put it. Speak that now in Jesus' name. Speak that now. You know what? The Lord wants to touch you tonight. I believe that tonight he wants to open our eyes, and there may have been those who even been baptized in the Holy Spirit and that you speak in tongues. And I believe that he wants to give you even new tongues. He wants to give you something that is different. I believe that eyes are going to be open and your perception of who the Lord is going to change. There's going to be greater sensitivity to his voice. There's going to be greater sensitivity to his presence, a greater sensitivity to his spirit and to the things that are on him, on his heart. And if that's you, I'm just going to ask you to just stand right now. Actually, just everybody just stand for a moment. In a moment, the team is going to pray for you. And I'm just going to tell you, you're going to be filled anew with the Holy Spirit. Paul says that we should be constantly filled with the Spirit. But there's something that's going to be a little bit different this time. I believe that he's actually prepping us and priming us. And I say this even Kings, Alaska, the Lord is priming you and prepping you to be able to encounter the Lord in new and fresh ways, releasing dreams even now, and visions and encounters. It's not about the experience. It's about him. It's about being, it's just, it's about knowing him. It's about walking. Look, you can have all those experiences. If you're not walking in faith and obedience, you missed it. It's about knowing him and making him known. And I believe the Holy Spirit even now has been stirring your heart. We're saying, like, this is for you. You have been called for this, to be able to see the righteous one, to be able to hear the voice that comes from his mouth, that he speaks over you, that he speaks over your family. You don't have to wait for a prophetic conference to be able to know, Lord, what is it that you want to do with my family? What do you want to do with my business or my area or my region? You can know now, and you can know directly from him who is the source of everything, that is Jesus himself. He's going to release faith tonight. He's going to release a greater flow of power in your life than you've ever experienced before. Ministries are going to go up to another level, and it starts now by simply knowing and by seeing him in a greater way.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com, and may God's face shine upon you.